Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are you doing? Are you surviving this cold spell after spending some time in Florida?
I hate it, Jimmy. I just hate it. The more life seasoned I get, that's slang for old. I hate the cold. Just get me. I need to go back. I'll be going back sooner than later. I can tell you that right now. I will definitely be heading back for sunshine sooner or later, but I'm doing good, Jimmy. Ready to talk some Penn State football. Quality win last week. Well done to the Nittany Lions. They looked every bit the part. They could see that everything was in front of them, and they played, performed, executed just like it, and that was encouraging to see. But we got a lot of football to talk about.
We sure do, Andy, and it was nice to see them respond after the loss to Ohio State. We know the history. The game after has not always been pretty for the Nittany Lions, but they played really well, especially the first half. I was particularly impressed. First half, four possessions, Andy, four touchdowns. Very impressive. But it leads us up to this week's college football playoff rankings. And they came out on Tuesday evening. Not a lot of surprises. We had a couple teams drop because of losses last week. Miami, who's been playing with fire for weeks, finally lost a game. They lost to Georgia Tech. And Georgia, who some people think might be one of the two, three best teams in the country, they lost for the second time, which actually in the rankings dropped them out of the playoffs. Again, several weeks to go. Things will change. I know you have some things to say about that. And what I'd like to do, you and I had a quite the conversation yesterday about these rankings, Andy. And I challenged you to create your own top 12 so that we could compare and contrast it with what the committee did. I'm going to read off quickly the top 12 just for our audience to understand what we're talking about. Oregon State, number one, undefeated. Then Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana, which meant that four of the top five teams in the country were from the Big Ten, which created some conversation. After Indiana, it was BYU, undefeated. Then one-loss teams, Tennessee, Notre Dame, and Miami. And then two-loss Southeast Conference teams, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia. Georgia ranked 12th, but because of how they do the playoffs, where a group of five team would be in it, would get one of the playoff spots, that would bump Georgia out. And based on the rankings this week, Georgia would not make the playoff. Before you give us your 12, Andy, your thoughts on what the committee did.
I'm disappointed in the college football playoff committee. What are you thinking? Are you even doing anything besides getting in the hotel and ordering room service and sitting on your worthless you-know-what, not talking about college football? It's unfathomable to me. These age-old standard of, well, the wins and losses and one loss, two loss, and no loss line, that's not going to work with 12 teams. Body of work, quality opponents, quality wins, quality losses, numbers, index, they have them all in front of them. They just refuse to use them. I said before the season, I thought in this first year, particularly in this first year, that the college football playoff committee would have a lot of work to do. You know, it was going to be complicated. It wasn't going to be clean. The first one was a little bit clean. They had some chaos that helped them. This was never going to be clean. But they are subscribing to the archaic 14 playoff theory, more or less, of one loss versus two loss, wins versus loss, head-to-head, we're done. That's it. We're done. We're out. You cannot put Georgia outside of that and look at them and say, okay, there's a 19 gap between the Georgia Bulldogs in their rankings and number three Texas, right? There's one loss, Jimmy, one college football loss, and it's a quality loss between them. But there's nine teams in between them, right? Here's the kicker. Jimmy, Georgia beat the snot out of Texas, right? Georgia beat the living snot out of Texas, 30-15, up and down the field. Same way a little bit, Ole Miss, at the end of the game, beat the snot out of Georgia. So they're not doing their work, Jimmy. They're not giving you a quality top 12. They're not looking at, is it a quality win? Is it a quality loss? Is it a marginal or bad loss? Who have you played? They're not even considering body of work, strength of schedule. They're clearly not looking at this from a bigger picture. And they have a free pass. Yeah, these four champions have to be in. That makes it easier for them. They seem to use that and somehow make that seem like it's harder. So I've never been more disappointed in the College Football Playoff Committee in all the years of rankings than I was for this, because it clearly shows the one thing they were going to have in front of them was a little bit of hard work, right? Okay, you're on the College Football Playoff Committee. It's going to be a little bit of hard work. They're not doing it. They're not doing it, Jimmy. They can't put out a rankings that look like that and begin to tell me that they're putting in hard quality work. You can't sell that. And that is a pig that you can't even put lipstick, eyeliner, or makeup on of any way, shape, or form. Okay, Jimmy, sorry, I'm done.
Andy, that was a worthwhile rant. Salty Jim is jealous of it. My take on it is a little bit different than yours. And Andy, I think the problem is, now you mentioned Georgia and Texas. Georgia crushed Texas, and I'm sure there's argument if they played again, Georgia would win again, but you can't ignore that Georgia lost two games. You have that same issue with Georgia and Ole Miss, where Ole Miss beat Georgia rather handily. So how do you justify that? Do you have to put Ole Miss ahead of Georgia? Do you have to put Georgia ahead of Texas based on head-to-head versus, you know, the number of losses? I think it's a tough situation, and I think you could argue it multiple ways. Now, you and I, as I pointed out, we had this discussion yesterday, and you pointed out your disappointment with the rankings. Whenever I hear analysts, Andy, nationally criticize something like this kind of ranking, my response is, well, then put out your own. Let me see what you have as the ranking. It's easy to say Georgia belongs in the playoffs, but then you got to take somebody out, okay? And if you're not prepared to do that, so, my friend Andy, I challenged you to create your own top 12 as opposed to what the College Football Playoff Committee did. So, Andy, I want to hear it. I'm getting to my notes where I have the college football playoff rankings, and I want to put your rankings next to them. So let's do it. Do like two or three teams at a time so I can write them down, and we can compare the two, Andy. Go ahead. All
right, I'll start at the top.
Yes.
Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, 1, 2, 3.
Easy. Okay, so far we're right in line with the playoff rankings. Correct. Go ahead. Number four.
Tennessee.
Okay.
A win over Alabama. A bad or marginal loss, right? Like, they've got one of each, right? They still have a big game ahead of them. Set them up for success. Put them in a good spot. Four is Tennessee. Five is Penn State. I struggled with putting Penn State here. I'm going to be honest. They had opportunity for a quality win, and they left an open screen door swinging, right? Like, right in front of them. They don't have a quality win. They don't have a bad loss. That's sort of a wash. I thought about putting Notre Dame ahead of Penn State, but I put Notre Dame behind them at six. Bad loss, right? Like Northern Illinois, bad loss early in the season, killing Cats, not the greatest in quality of schedule. But eye test, body of work, bad loss, body of work, quality, they belong Notre Dame 6. Here's where I make it easy for you, Jimmy. You put all three of the two losses in, and you lump them together. Where they go, it doesn't really matter. 7, 8, 9. Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia.
I want you to put them in your order, Andy.
Alabama 7, Ole Miss 8, Georgia 9. Yes, Georgia did beat Texas. That's relevant. That's part of body of work. Georgia also lost to Alabama and Ole Miss. If you're going to take them as two lost teams, and I would, then you put them in head-to-head, body of work, quality win, and who they lost to. That's the way I would shake them out. They're, in my mind, they're grouped to three. All right, you ready for number 10?
Yep.
It's Indiana. It is Indiana. Their schedule is just weak. They don't play anybody, Jimmy, and that's kind of not their fault, but you can't reward them for it and put them up there where they in the top five when they haven't really had a body of work that screams that they are worthy of a top five ranking. That's my design. They've only beaten one team that right now, Jimmy, has a above 500 record. That's Nebraska, 5-4. Michigan and Washington, they beat them as well. They're both 5-5. Other than that, everybody else has a losing record that they played this season. I'm not punishing them right now because they still have a game in front of them, but I'm putting them on notice that they kind of have to win that game or they could be on the bubble. And part of it is the Big Ten bubble. Number 11 is BYU, undefeated. Body of work, I'm giving them sort of a free pass. Boise State's 12. Three-point loss to Oregon. They played Oregon, number one, three-point loss, quality loss. Their only loss. Group of five schedule. They also beat Washington State. They do play Oregon State to end the year. They can add another feather in their cap. They are quality. And do you want the first two out?
Yeah, first two out.
Texas A&M and Miami. In order, Texas A&M and Miami. So that gets you through 14 right there, Jimmy. And I'm sure we're going to revisit this in quarter two.
Andy, right from the start, we are going to revisit it. You timed out your rankings very well. That is the end of quarter number one. When we come back, we're going to dissect Andy's rankings right after this.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Salty Andy. Andy is salty because of the college football playoff rankings, and unlike so many of those other cowards who will just criticize the rankings, Andy put out his own, so he left himself open to our critique of his rankings. And Andy, I really don't have much of a problem, if at all, with your rankings. Essentially, what you did was you took BYU in Indiana and dropped them down below that group of three, two-loss teams, Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia.
Correct. And I grouped those three teams together for just to make it – you keep teams that are sort of like – they're similar, right? They have – you can make fine-line nuances in arguing each case for and against for each team, but essentially, if you group them together and say, look, these three are tied. I think they need to remain tied together, and the College Football Playoff Committee would have been better served to tie them together. Group them together and put them as your group of three, two-loss SEC teams. And again, the biggest difference for me was there is a body of work. This isn't strictly a wins and losses. Who did you beat? Yeah, that all matters. Also, it's about a body of work. And it came to it on the back end. Indiana, body of work. Not that impressive, right? Record, great. No wins. And they're a new kid in town, right? They're the new kid in town. They're the outlier on this. They deserve to be part of the conversation. But their body of work doesn't scream top five. It doesn't. And to a degree, neither does Penn State. That's why I had a real problem and struggled where to rank them. So if Notre Dame has a less, how's a good word for it? If they have a less egregious loss, Northern Illinois is just such a bad loss. If they have a less egregious loss, I would have put Notre Dame ahead of Penn State.
Quite candidly, Andy, with Notre Dame, I've not really studied their schedule hard because I've typically been looking at the group in the Southeast Conference, the group in the Big Ten, how the schedules are different within it. Perhaps you know, what is Notre Dame's best win? They beat Texas A&M, correct, to start the season.
They beat Texas A&M. Quality still, I think, goes down as a quality. They have win. They beat Georgia Tech, right? They played Navy. They killed them. They played Stanford. They still have to play USC. They killed Florida State last week. You know, things like that. That's where they've been. That's their schedule in a nutshell, Jimmy. But it's not. They played Texas A&M, right? They have. It's not the best schedule because the opponents aren't. USC still left, but USC's a train wreck, right?
Yeah. Well, I would look at, you know, Notre Dame and Indiana and compare them. And I think Indiana compares pretty well to Notre Dame. Indiana doesn't have the win over A&M. They don't have a win like that. But they certainly don't have the egregious loss that Notre Dame does, okay? So I can justify, I believe, Indiana ahead of Notre Dame. And also, I think one of the other differences with Indiana a little bit, this is eye test, they've blown, until Michigan, they've blown everybody out, Andy, which I think separates them from like when Miami was unbeaten or an unbeaten BYU who has struggled against a lot of teams, come close to losing. So I can justify in my head Indiana ahead of Notre Dame. And I do also think you mentioned putting Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia, lump them together. I agree. You and I talked about this quite a bit, really looked at the three of them, looked at their quality wins, looked at their losses, and came away from it saying, boy, it's hard to tell the difference. You know, Georgia probably has the best wins against Texas and Clemson. Ole Miss and Alabama have wins over Georgia, okay? They have that head-to-head, and they have probably worse losses, you know, losing to Kentucky and losing to Vanderbilt. So I think as salty as you were with the rankings, I'm not sure your rankings are really all that different. And I also think, Andy, some of it will straighten out. And let's translate now this into the discussion of where we will end up with the playoffs. And some of it will clean up. Going through this, Andy, I think the playoffs is going to come down to a 4-4-4 arrangement. Four Big Ten teams, four Southeast Conference teams, and then the four others. A Big 12 winner, an ACC winner, a Group of Five, and Notre Dame. Make sense?
Yeah, it's – yes. I 100% agree that that's the – it's going to help the College Football Playoff Committee to make it easy. The Big Ten has helped it as well. because the Big Ten goes from its four teams to off a cliff, right? Like, there's no other team. And even if you look at the college football playoff rankings this week, they go 25 deep. Most people forget that. Like, they just don't do 12. They go 25. Look at the thing. And they're still, even though it's top heavy in their rankings, the four Big Ten teams are all, you know, right there at the very top. Go all the way to the bottom and you will not find another Big Ten team. Go all the way to the bottom and you'll find nine SEC teams, right? So there is more volatility that could possibly happen in the SEC, but I still think it's, I don't know, does it seem fair that the eye test for Indiana needs to be good against Ohio State? They don't have to win the game. But if they get boat raced, and I don't think that necessarily is going to happen, but if they get boat raced in that game, does that open a window for a two-loss SEC team versus a one-loss in their only real quality of schedule game? They got boat raced. So that's the only window of opportunity I see. This is all saying all this, Jimmy. We're saying all this, barring any major upsets, right? Like, if Penn State loses, I think they put themselves on the margin of being on the outside looking in, Jimmy, right?
And I think rightfully so.
Right, correct. I'm like, they can't make a case in the Big Ten this year when it's four teams only and it's top heavy and then it falls off a cliff. You can't be a two-loss Big Ten team and really have a strong case against the SEC this year. So, you know, they have to win their football games. So, I mean, they might still take them. I don't know, but that would put them in a very compromised and marginal spot. Whereas I think the College Football Playoff Committee will have its pick of two-loss SEC teams, barring any major upsets. And the question will be, will they take four from the SEC or will they take five?
Well, somebody has to fall out, either, you know, like an Indiana or a Penn State from the Big Ten, for that 15 to come from the Southeast Conference. And Andy, looking forward at the schedule, there are, again, barring a crazy upset. And I know we've seen some crazy upsets.
Right.
But Bart, you know, looking at Penn State has to expect to win their next three games. Purdue and Maryland at home should be no issue. Minnesota on the road, that's the only possibility, that kind of thing. But, you know, is it possible Michigan could upset Ohio State? But there are three games, Andy, that are really going to determine this. You mentioned Ohio State playing Indiana. If Ohio State boat races Indiana, is there a possibility Indiana could drop out and everyone just says, hey, there's proof they're a fraud? Yes, that is possible. The other two games that matter, Andy, are in the Southeast Conference, where you have Tennessee playing Georgia. Georgia loses. It's a third loss. Don't care about their quality wins. They lose a third game. They are out. Texas plays Texas A&M. Andy, and that is the one. They both have one loss. That's the game that is going to they have one loss in conference.
In conference, right.
A&M has two losses. They lose that game, they are out of it. So those are the games, and I think the way it will turn out, Andy, is, you know, the Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, three teams so tight, I think they're all going to make it. And an A&M loss to Texas will probably eliminate them as a third loss. So things will actually, I think, kind of clear up pretty straightforward.
Could. You need results and no upsets. Good luck, Jimmy. I'm just saying, you have a nice clean scenario, and it is distinctly very possible. I agree with you. But I'm like, don't forget there's been a little bit of chaos already this season. Here's my last little cliffhanger for you, Jimmy. Indiana beats Ohio State.
Yes.
Where does Ohio State go? What do you do with Ohio State?
You lump them in with Alabama, Ole Miss,
okay,
and Georgia, and they because still make the playoffs.
They have two two losses. Both would be of quality then, because Indiana would be unbeaten. they have a quality win, Penn State, right?
Yep.
That's why I'm saying what Penn State's lacking that puts them on the cusp, and they kind of must win. They don't have a.
No doubt, Andy.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the difference between Penn State right now and Ohio State.
But you know what happens if Indiana beats Ohio State? It's still going to be those same four teams from the Big Ten getting in.
Correct.
If somebody upsets Oregon, it's only one loss. They're still in.
Correct. I just think Penn State's the one team that could lose and be in serious trouble.
Right. They can't afford a second loss. They can't. But I think where just a couple weeks ago, I thought the playoffs were total and complete chaos. It's now to the point where it really isn't. You know, you could see the end of the tunnel. You could see SMU versus Miami in the ACC championship game. Winner goes to the playoffs, loser's out. Same kind of situation in the Big 12. Whoever wins the championship game obviously is in, loser out. So that is where I think we're at with the playoffs. It's starting to come together. It's starting to shape up. And I'm not sure how much work they really are going to have to do because it seems to be falling into place. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Coming up, Ask Andy, where we take your questions.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It is time to Ask Andy. This is where we take your questions. If you want to send a question in for Andy, real simple, download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. Just like Tim from Butler. Tim says, hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. It's nice when they're polite like that, Andy.
Yeah.
Can you please help steer my fandom? I really am hoping for a home playoff game. Do we need to cheer for Ohio State the rest of the way so our one loss looks as good as possible, or don't think that will make all that big a difference in the end?
No, you can't cheer for Ohio State. It's not going to make that much difference, Tim. I really don't think it does. It's a quality win. It's a quality loss, excuse me, not a quality win. Boy, that's a faux pas. Penn State fans are like throwing tomatoes at their, you know, phones and screens right now. Like, what are they talking about? Quality win? We don't beat them. It will stand up as a quality loss. The opportunity for signature victory was there. The screen door was open. They just didn't want to walk through and slam the door shut. They couldn't walk through and slam the door shut because essentially Ohio State's defense was better than Penn State's offense that day. That's just the end bottom line. Don't root for Ohio State. Don't wear your blue and white or wear your whiteout gear and actually say you're quietly, silently rooting for Ohio State. Don't do that. That's not safe for Penn State fans. It's not healthy. It's not good for your Penn State mental health.
And you know what, Tim? Let me just add this, too. We see this during the out-of-conference games. You're supposed to root for your Big Ten brothers, you know, because it's good for Penn State, good for the league. That is so hard to do.
No.
It is, Tim, it's just too hard to do. All right, let's get to Brad in Perkasie, who says, should the NFL, Big Ten, and Southeast Conference pay their refs to be full-time so they can train them? How, then, do you ensure it's called the same across referee teams? I think Brad's question is in response to catch and fumble versus incompletion, which we saw back-to-back weeks with Penn State involved, both the Washington game and the Ohio State game. and it was called The Opposite Way for almost the identical play. Andy, should they just make it full-time, these officials, and train them so there aren't those kind of inconsistencies?
Well, I'd at the very least, I'd like to see the NFL officials be full-time. Let's just start there. I mean, let's get it. And I'll be honest with you, Brad, and I've watched way too much football for a man my age in my years. I love the game and watch a tremendous amount of it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure what's a catch anymore. I don't know. I'm never my eye test, and I'm not talking like where I have a retro eye test where you're like, man, even 15 years ago, that's a catch. Just my eye test is, it kind of lets you down sometimes now, because I think the what is a catch has evolved and changed so much. And there's like 9 layers to it. Like, oh, that's right, I forgot about that 9th layer. There's a lot, it's complicated, and I don't know, I can't tell sometimes anymore. Well, did he fumble it? Do you think that's a fumble? I'm like, I can't tell. I don't know anymore. I don't know what's a catch and what's not. And I'll be like, I don't think that's a fumble. I think he caught that, and that should be a fumble. And then that rule's overturned, or that call stands, and I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what a catch is anymore. So it's hard for the fan to really clearly judge that, because I think the catch rule has become so complicated. It's hard to just look at an eye test and make yourself be able to judge it fairly clearly. So you're just sitting there going, well, I don't know. Let's go. Next play.
Well, here's the thing, Andy. I think it's one of those things where all you ask for is consistency in it. And I think this is why it's stood out like a sore thumb these last 2 weeks. You had the same conference with the same team involved both weeks in Penn State, and the calls were different. Either call them both completions and fumbles, or call them both incompletions. And for this to happen in the same conference, you would think that there would be the training even between weeks. That video was shown to everybody and said, hey, look, we call this, an incompletion. So understand, this is what an incompletion looks like. And that's the way they would call it the next time around also. That obviously doesn't happen. But the one issue, Andy, that I do have with the idea of making them full-time, training them, I'm not sure that still would make them competent. There were too many calls earlier in the year where it was just marking the ball, okay? Mark it. That there is no, you do not need a training class on marking the ball. When the guy is tackled at the 21-yard line, you do not mark it at the 19, okay? That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. When I'm watching from my Barca lounger and I can spot it better than them and better than the replay guys, that's, go ahead, Andy.
Let me say one last thing on officiating. Technology, while it's progress and has provided some help, overall, technology has helped players and I think the game. I think technology has become intrusive for officials and made them a unwelcome element of the game over the last decade.
And just use the technology properly, okay? Just use it properly. That's all. Like I said, there were multiple games where I didn't have a dog in the fight, and you're watching them place the ball and just go, not only are they getting it wrong on the field, they're getting it wrong on the replay. That's just plain incompetence, Andy. All right, let's move on, because I'll fall into salty Jim when talking about the referees.
Rabbit hole.
Pat from Connecticut says, hello, KSN crew. Penn State's looking pretty good to host a playoff game. Knock on wood, he says. How does the revenues work from ticket sales? I don't know if you know this answer.
I don't.
I do.
Yeah. You figure the school's got to make money because they covet the home game.
Well, my thanks goes out to Audrey Snyder from The Athletic, who just last night, Andy, put this out because it just became public. Essentially, here's how it works. Believe it or not, ticket revenue does not go to the home school. It goes to the college football playoffs.
Okay.
But they are standardizing ticket prices across the playoffs.
Okay.
Prices will range from $100 to $250.
Okay.
And that doesn't include club seating and suites.
Right.
College football playoffs will retain the ticket revenue. However, the host school will take in concessions and parking will go to Penn State. The tickets will go to college football. And it appears, Andy, that season ticket holders will get that first shot at their ticket. It won't be, hey, we just reopen it so that if you're a season ticket holder, you don't get access to your own seats. What I don't know, what's not clear, is whether Penn State would get the revenue from club and suites. That's always handled a little bit differently. But overall, college football will be taking that. And they have to guarantee X number of tickets for the visiting team. I think they said that was 3,500. And again, thanks to Audrey for that. All right, here's Sue and Howard. And by the way, thank you, Pat from Connecticut, for that question, and Audrey for the information. Sue from Howard says, it's been said no team will benefit from the 12-team playoff more than Penn State, yet this year Penn State currently sits in fourth place in the latest rankings. This suggests that if Penn State would win out, we would actually have made a four-team playoff this year. When I mentioned this to my husband, he insisted there's no way that the committee would ever have included Penn State in a four-team playoff. He believes a Southeast Conference school would replace us. What do you say, Andy?
Sue, I would have to say, and this would be the rare instance where your husband might possibly be correct, there is no way that the College Football Playoff Committee would take Penn State in a 14 College Football Playoff Committee without playing in the conference championship game, right? Like their path to the championship.
You mean like Ohio State in 2016?
Correct. Correct. There's no way they would do that despite the win and loss record. They're not going to do that, especially when it's a power two now. I mean, if it was four teams this year, it literally might just be the teams that end up in the Big Ten and the SEC championship game. That might be your four teams. But Penn State, if that still existed, there's no way they would take them if they did not play in a championship game. There's no way. That's just that wouldn't happen. Not when we change conferences much to a power two.
It's a fascinating question because it's not just change from four teams to 12. You change who you have to play within the conferences because of conference expansion and the dissolution of divisions.
Right.
That completely changed. So all the rules that we knew of from before go away. However, and this is where I will support you, Sue, if they did follow how they've been doing it, as I said, no two-loss team has ever made the four-team playoff. If they stick to their guns with that, and remember, that's how Penn State didn't make it in 2016. So let me sneak in one other question here, Andy.
Sure.
And this is from Paul in Arlington.
Hi,
logistically,
Paul.
How would they have distributed hot dogs to everyone at the stadium from Donald Trump? Did you hear the story, Andy?
No.
When Donald Trump was supposed to come to the Penn State-Ohio State game, allegedly he was going to buy a hot dog for everyone in the stadium. and he would not have been allowed to do that. Someone said that was part of the reason why he did not attend. If I had to answer the question how they would have done it logistically, I suspect they would have had a voucher as you walk into the stadium, handed to you, and then you handed it into the concession stand to get your free hot dog. Hot dogs, I didn't realize this, Andy. At the stadium, they're $7.
Don't talk to me. I just went to an NFL game, and it was hot in Tampa, so we had to. I had to buy $12 water.
Oh, my God. All right, that is it for quarter number three. Stick around. We got one more segment to go.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Salty Andy. We've seen it multiple times now today. Andy's response to the college football playoff rankings. And now I got to hear more about this, Andy. A $12 water at an NFL game. By the way, just as an aside, I went to a Penn State hockey game a couple weeks ago. I think it was their first home game. And I just wanted to grab a water. Standard water. Standard, I don't know, 12 or 16-ounce size water. Nothing to... And it was $5. And I was upset. Andy, I go to the grocery store and get a case of water, like a 36-bottle case for like $4. And here they were charging me $5 for one. But $12, that's just ridiculous.
It was $12 for a water. It was a big one. It was $8 for... what you would have paid $5 for a water for, a 16-ounce water. It was $20 for like a big Bud Light or, you know, beer of some kind. It's in the big can, right? Like, I didn't have the beer. I just saw the price because it was 94 degrees and all I wanted was water. So you just have to plan your tailgate appropriately and your postgate appropriately when the weather is hot so that you're not buying an abundance of $12 waters. But I will be honest and say I spent 20 cashless because everything's cashless. I spent 20 cashless dollars on water during the game. And that was the minimum that I could spend because it was so hot and I couldn't get to our postgate and get more water fast enough in the hot sun. But yeah, it's, so we talked about the college football playoffs in quarter three, and Audrey had the, you know, the home team gets the concession revenue. Ding, ding, winner, winner, chicken dinner, right?
That, and I'll be curious to see what parking will cost, too, for that game. They're,
exactly.
What are they going to do? Separate RV parking. Holy cow.
What if it's raining and snowing and cold? What are those lots going to be like at Penn State?
Well, you know, there have been games where they have closed off certain parking lots.
Sure, they might because, have to.
That can be very interesting. The other part of this, which I didn't address, was student seating. And again, I don't know what student seating cost is during the season, but for the playoff game, apparently it's going to be a fixed price, $25 for student seating, which isn't bad. Really? The only issue... question, and it's going to be fascinating to see, is the playoff game is like December 20th, that weekend right before Christmas. Will students still be there? My understanding is they will leave the dorms open, you know, for the students to stick around for it. But that'll be interesting to see how many students. I hope they do stick around, Andy, because the students are such a big part of the crowd and the energy of the crowd.
Still got three more football games to win, Jimmy. Still got to win three more football games.
They do, Andy. So let's take a look. Let's look forward. And the three games are Purdue on the road, Minnesota on the road, and then Maryland at home. Looking at the three, candidly, the only one that should provide much, if any, concern is Minnesota on the road. This week, Andy, it's Purdue. Purdue has just been awful this year.
Wow.
Awful, awful, awful. This should not be anything more than essentially a scrimmage.
Yeah, Purdue's one of the 10 worst teams in college football. There's just, I mean, their win is against FCS Indiana State. Their coach, he's always only in his second year, dude. He's on the hot seat. They played three top-tier opponents. They played Oregon, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. Nice schedule. Not very kind. But they've lost by a combined score, Jimmy, of 146-7 in those three games. Like, yeah, that makes you go like, ooh. I mean, he fired his offensive coordinator. He's a defensive guy, right? Like, he's a defensive-minded coach. He fired his offensive coordinator, and now he's calling the plays. I mean, that's just pure chaos. I mean, I look at Penn State, and I'm like, okay, well, we're in that final three now. This is clearly an inferior opponent that will – it should be a scrimmage. It should be getting some of those freshmen, right? Those – their second, third, and fourth, you know, games that they can play now without losing their redshirt. We should be able to see some of that. You don't want to see Nick Singleton, right? Like the 2024 season that has become, you know, a little injury plagued, a little – he's nicked up with a short-term injury. Yeah, I don't want to see him. Don't need to. He was already playing compromised before he got this latest neck short-term injury. You don't want to see him playing in the football game. This is a bad team, a really bad team, not like just your run-of-the-mill Penn State's the better team bad team. This is like scary bad, and I just think you even show up anything resembling what you did last week, your purpose – and your drumbeat and your message and your mantra and everything's ahead of you, everything you built on and started to put in place last week, that doesn't change because you're playing Purdue, right? You don't have to beat them 49-0. Just make them irrelevant in the football game like you did last week, and you have put more bricks as you're building towards the end of this season and hopefully a college football playoff win. It's still all in front of Penn State. This is the worst team in the Big Ten, and it's just simple. It'll be easy to make it so.
A couple things, Andy, on what you said. You first of all, talking about Purdue and how bad they are, what makes it even worse for Purdue is in-state rival Indiana, okay, who Purdue and Indiana, very level? Comparable, you think, yeah. Of going into this. If anything, I think Purdue has more of a history over the last couple decades,
right,
of performing well. And they look across the state and they see Indiana and what they're doing. New coach in his first year brings in a bunch of portal guys with them, and they're undefeated, ranked in the top five. So I'm not sure this Purdue coach is long for that job. The one thing that you mentioned, the three top 10 teams that Purdue has played, they got boat raced. They just got.
Oh, my gosh.
Is I don't know if the style that Penn State plays, one of the things, it seems like their defense bends but doesn't break, gives up fairly long drives. Offensively, they have these long time-consuming drives. And candidly, in that Washington game, in the first half where they were perfect, 4-for-4 on touchdowns, which I mentioned earlier, if Washington could have gained two more yards, they probably would have finished out the half, and Penn State would have only had three possessions for the entire half, and they were three long possessions. So I wonder about that, keeping Penn State's score down a bit. Not that the game would ever be in doubt, but – what I'm leading up to, Andy, is last I saw it was a 28.5-point spread. Might this be a little bit closer? Not that it's a closer game, but just a closer score.
I don't think so. The spread is based on Penn State's offense and the way. Okay, so they were good last week. They didn't have a lot of possessions. They do long-consuming drives. I think, yeah, it was the Ohio State game. They had a long drive to open, and, you know, they kicked a field goal, right? Like, I think it was 7 or 8 minutes, Jimmy. That's, but they were kicking field goals. It was kind of the same in USC. That is sort of their, that's what their offense is and what their offense does. That is why this is only a, you know, basically a 4-score spread. it's not a four-score talent difference. It's a four-score production difference. And that's just the way Penn State operates. A 35-0, a 38-3 Penn State final is exactly what you would expect. That is Penn State playing good football. It's not like the 52-0 that another team might do. It's the exact same thing, right? Or 52-3. It's the exact same game. It's just in the opponent. I don't think it's less than four. It can't be less than four scores. If it's less than four scores, it means Penn State didn't do its job. They're not going to lose the football game. But if it's under, say, 27 points or less, the difference, they didn't have a good night offensively. They weren't efficient, productive, and were not doing what they set out to do before the game kicked off, if it's less than that.
Well, one of the things, Andy, that I've been saying for several weeks now, and this Washington game was more proof of it, their first three possessions, long, methodical drives. Then they got the ball back with less than 2 minutes to go. Boom, 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 right down the field, and they score, okay? I would like to see Penn State do more of that, be more explosive. I'd like to see that. Now, one other thing, you mentioned Nick Singleton not playing, but he has been at practice.
Correct.
You know, James Franklin said short term. I believe it was Wednesday he was seen at practice. So and he was declared good to go for this game. Whether he plays or not, that's the other question. So, Andy, we still need your prediction for this game and a bold prediction.
Yeah. So I think when I look at it, you're like, just it's a business trip. Make this a business trip, right? The Washington game was about putting some post-Ohio State building blocks in place. This is a business trip. Go out and treat it like a business trip. You're going to – those of you who like the freshman eye candy, you know, the wide receiver, Tysier Denmark, I think you're going to see some of him. Maybe defensive end Max Granville. Are they back end of the roster backup role guys as they head into later in November and possibly the college football playoffs? These are the kind of games you might get to see that. My prediction is Penn State 38, Purdue nothing. And my bold prediction, I'm going to make it two defensive touchdowns in three games for the Nittany Lions. Only this time the offense gets at least one touchdown as well, instead of just the defense getting the only touchdown. So I'm going to make it boldly say that Penn State's defense gets its second touchdown in three games against the Boilermakers offense that is just truly Charles Barkley terrible.
Yeah, they are terrible. Well, I'm going to go with 41-6, Andy. I think the offense, you know, again, they're not going to put up 50. I do think they'll get to 40. And here's a bold prediction. I made this prediction last week, and it looked for a while like we were going to get there. I'm going to say over 300 yards passing. I'm not going to say from Drew Aller, because I think we'll see, you know, plenty of Bo Pribula. Quickly, go ahead.
What did I say? 200 or more rushing yards, and you said 300 passing. Who was right?
Oh, you know what? I could have had my passing also if they took – it was the officials, Andy. They ruled it a fumble. If that wouldn't happen, I would have gotten my 300 yards. All right. Thank you all for listening. That's it for this week. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.